Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. This is episode number 100, part four.
Part four.
The Great Escape.
Oh, that's good.
I like that.
Yeah?
That's good. Usually you don't come up with the headlines.
Usually I try to do that.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I guess Buccaneer
fans. This is also
fans,
good because now I know the song that's going to be at the beginning, which everybody already heard listening to this podcast, but now I just thought of it now. So
yeah. What's the song?
The Great Escape.
Oh, I never heard of it. Who's that?
No, you'll see.
Who sings it?
You'll see.
The Monkees?
Monkees.
No. No Monkees? We need a Monkees theme song at one point. Anyway, Escape. I just got
is that
done
even
doing
the word? That's,
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of a better word. I don't.
Escape, exhale.
Tried to lose but didn't.
Yes, gave the game away in multiple
tried
times.
Tried to lose.
The Browns just didn't want it.
They, you know.
Here's the deal. The Browns are still the Browns, boys.
Yeah.
The Browns are still the Browns. How many penalties did they have that gave the Buccaneers first down after they had stopped them on third down a few times?
I feel like the Bucs had a lot of penalties, too.
Yeah, they did.
But it just, I mean, it didn't matter. The Browns were worse.
The Browns were just one little bit worse than the Buccaneers.
Yep. Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay, they were saying, listen, here's the ball. You just have it. Just take it. Just take the game and win it.
Right.
And the Browns said, no thanks. We like overtime games, but we like to lose or tie these overtime games.
They do like overtime games, don't they?
This is the eighth overtime game for the Browns, and I came so close in my pregame prediction to say that this was going to go to overtime. I came so close, and I thought, nah.
But you know what, guys? This game should have never even been close. It's 23-9 at one point, almost in the fourth quarter. Was it the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was only second half.
It was 16-2 or whatever it was in the first quarter.
Yes, it was 16-2 when it was 23-9.
Second quarter, yeah. I mean,
the game is over.
And the Buccaneers,
you're playing a terrible football team.
Had multiple drives. I call them dagger drives, right?
Yeah.
The multiple dagger drives in the first half and even in the second half just to put this game away.
Yeah, three consecutive turnovers by the Buccaneer offense just completely kept the Browns in it. And listen, Cleveland, to their credit, this is not the same Browns team. I mean, it is in the fact that they don't win games.
Well, it's the same Browns team,
but the defense
Mayfield
is better.
They have Mayfield.
The defense is better. The defense came in today with 15 takeaways, the most by four of any team in the league. I mean, they were.
Is that really?
Yes.
And they got four more today.
And they got four more today.
Wow.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
And you know, I was saying to myself as I was thinking during the game, the Browns are still the Browns. You look across that roster, though, and you see a ton of talent from their tight end to Peppers to Miles Garrett to the
Jarvis
offense.
Landry.
You know, Jarvis Landry, one of the top receivers in the league. You
Nick
know,
Chubb.
A solid.
Denzel Ward.
I mean, so many really, really good players.
They're close.
You know, and yet.
They just need a good coach.
Yeah.
Well,
Hugh Jackson
sucks. What's the consistency over the last 3 years for the Browns? It's one guy. It's Hugh Jackson, right?
Correct.
The one consistent factor has been in a lot of losses for this team. 24 straight road losses now, but it
NFL
almost,
record? Or is it tied? Did it tie the NFL record?
No, I think that was the NFL record.
I'm not
record.
Well-versed in Browns lore history.
I can't remember. Either they
not
tied
sure.
the record or they beat the record.
I just can't believe that the Browns have played in four overtime games this year. Like they've already played one extra game than everybody else.
It's, yeah. It's
this is going to hurt them when they get to the playoffs this year.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No?
But they will be tired by December. There's no doubt about it. They'll play an extra game or two to keep going in this route.
All right, so defense, what do we think? New revamped defense?
Total success today in the fact that, A, they won, and I thought Dirk Koetter was appropriate when he said this win was on the defense. Mm-hmm. The defense won this game. Tampa Bay used to give up 250 yards passing and two or three touchdowns by halftime to a quarterback. Now you see Baker
Mayfield.
What do you
Mayfield. Mean used to? You, what do you mean, like 7 days ago?
Yeah, seven days
ago.
Ago.
You're talking about this like,
it was like
the Buccaneers of old used it. It was a week ago.
As Bill Belichick would say, we're on to Cincinnati. Okay, that's ancient history. We've already beat the Browns. We're on to Cincinnati.
All right, so
the
that's Falcons podcast,
game
everybody.
Is ancient history.
We'll see you next week. So where we will declare that we're on to.
Trevor, stop having fun and making jokes.
Sorry.
People are
Be
not going to like this podcast. Damn it.
Trevor, we talked about this in our pregame meeting where we scripted the whole show
out. Come on.
We don't have pregame meetings.
Anyways, when you look at the Browns, 305 total yards of offense, less than 30 points. Right? They scored 23 points. And no, the Bucks defense wasn't perfect. The one missing element they have to have is takeaways. They've gone three straight games without a takeaway. Because the one takeaway today was by
special
Anthony Autler.
Canada.
Autler.
Canada standing up.
Yep.
Stand up.
Everyone have a LeBlanc
special
tonight.
Teams. Yeah. Well, Anthony, inside information from Peter Report sources, Anthony Autler's dad drives a Labatt's blue truck.
Yes.
It's not inside sources.
And he will be delivering that many times. Right. He'll be delivering that to, you told me that's exactly why Jason Light drafted him.
That factored in.
Defensive line, though, definitely got to talk about this because no Gerald McCoy.
Yep.
No
Vinny Curry.
Yep. Exactly.
Five sacks, right?
One from Glanton,
and
four
one
from
of
the
them,
defensive line.
And one of them should have been another one. They should have had six because JPP had Mayfield wrapped up about as good as you can, and he escaped.
There were probably two or three more sacks they left on the field. There was one there in overtime where if the tackle doesn't hold JPP, he gets another sack there.
So, what did you guys – like, people ask me during the game because this is a reaction podcast, so right. I haven't – you know, as we're watching the game – we're doing a lot of stuff when we watch the game. We're writing our reports. We're getting things out on social media. We're doing all this. So it's not like we can see every detail. But a lot of people were asking me, like, hey, how much of this is really the Bucs defense under Mark Duffner? Mm-hmm. How much is better and how much of it is just the Browns?
All right. Well, the interesting thing is because this is a home game, we're in the press box and we're able to see what goes on the sidelines without the television viewpoint. And what the fans didn't see at home was Mark Duffner going up to every unit, linebackers, defensive line, defensive backs, talking to all the players, getting involved and having that direct line of communication. There was a disconnect with Mike Smith sitting up in the press box with the bird's eye view of what's going on and getting feedback from the players on the field. And I think that helped out a lot. We saw Mark Duffner, while the Bucs offense was taking the field for the first and second plays of the second half, Duffner called everybody, all of the defensive coaches, all of the defensive players. I think you tweeted out a picture of that, Trev, on the Peter Report account.
Yep.
He called a huddle on the sidelines, which I haven't seen done at the NFL level, where the entire defense is over there, and he is imploring them, telling them, we lost our starting middle linebacker today. Quan Alexander is out.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
I need every single one of you to step up and play and win this game. And the players responded. The defensive line responded. The defensive backs responded.
And I just want to say, because people are probably listening to this podcast right now, and they're probably saying, well, the Bucs gave up a bunch of second-half points, so maybe they didn't keep up their word, but the offense had a ton of turnovers.
Sure.
And
the Browns had tremendous field position.
Right, and remember, the biggest stand was on fourth down on the goal line.
Yes.
That saved the game.
Sure.
Saved the whole game for
and
them.
If this offense would have gotten a first down or two, it would have iced the game right there. Instead, they went three and out, had to punt the ball, and then Jabril Peppers rips off a massive 32-yard return that puts him inside the red zone. Then on the next play, you know, it's like the fourth down stand didn't even happen. But, guys, when was the last time you've seen a fourth and goal line stand from this defense? I can't remember.
84.
Now, I'm pretty sure there was one in the 90s. I think Derek Brooks would probably disagree with you.
No, it was 84.
No, I'm pretty sure that the Buccaneers had a goal line stand.
There was one in the 90s, or, and then in 84.
Or four or five under Monty Kiffin, I would like
as
to
As long
think.
As you acknowledge that there wasn't one in 84.
There was one in 84.
There could have been.
Against the Packers.
No idea. Okay.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
Right.
Milwaukee County Stadium. Do you remember when the Buccaneers used to play the Packers and half the Packers' home games were at Lambeau and half were at County Stadium?
Fun
you
fact.
You didn't know
what?
That, did you?
Yeah. Why?
True story. Because the team is not owned by one person.
Right.
So they want as many Wisconsin people to see it, so they would travel a couple hours to go to Milwaukee
That's
to play four
cool.
games.
I like that.
Yeah.
They should rebuild the sombrero.
right across the street.
Yeah, and no, just rebuild it in St. Pete or something, and play half.
Oh yeah, because St. Petersburg really travels well at the games. We see that with the Rays.
No, that's why you got to bring it
oh,
to.
Oh, okay,
them,
all right.
So that's what I'm
you
saying.
Gotta put it over there.
Well, going back to your point, is this Duffner? Was it the Browns that caused this resurgence? I think you have to give a lot of.
I think it was Duffner. I think it was Duffner,
especially on third downs. They're 3 of 14 on third downs. The Browns were against Tampa Bay's defense. All right, we saw tighter coverage, and I asked Levante David because Levante David said, "All right, well, you know, we simplify things." Okay, Levante, what does that mean to the person outside looking in? What does it mean? Give me an example of what simplify things means. He said. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said...
No, you have to do the exact quote.
I don't, because I haven't transcribed it yet. I don't have the time. We're doing a live
people
podcast.
People don't know. Just say it's the real quote.
Well, it's not going to be the real quote because I'm going to get the real quote. It's going to be my 2-point
no
conversion.
No one's going to go back and compare it.
Some people might. Garv all might.
Right. Garv Wood.
Garv Wood.
Garv Wood. Hello, Garv.
Shout out, Garv.
Shout out, Garv.
Yeah. We love you. But what he said was, okay, well, we only called, and this is going to sound damning for Mike Smith, but that's why I'm saying
he's
it.
He's fired. It's okay.
Yeah.
He's not listening to this. Can't get any worse than sitting down at the desk and hearing you're fired.
or watching your successor hold a team to 305 yards and 3 of 14 on third downs. But what
that dude's on a beach in St. Martin right now. He ain't worried about this team or what you're
saying.
He's
getting paid.
Exactly.
People forget that coaching contracts, yeah. they're just contracts. They're fully guaranteed. So anyways, keep going.
So what Levante said was, we only ran the coverages we practiced in practice, which told me that sometimes when Mike Smith would go to his 16th, 17th, and 18th different coverages against the Falcons, mm-hmm. that the reason why they were blowing so many coverages is because he went back to coverages that they had practiced weeks ago or in training camp but had not implemented during the week.
Interesting.
Interesting. Foraging, scrounging, trying to find something desperately that would work. But what Duffner did was he said, hey, if we're only going to run 4 or 5 coverages this week, and that's it. We're going to run these. We're going to run them in practice until we perfect them. And we're going to get used to it. We're going to be comfortable in it. And that's going to allow us to play more aggressive.
So they
reduced the number of plays they had on defense, and they said, run these plays, run them in practice over and over again, and become great at them. And we saw pass breakups.
It just sounds like a duh, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah,
it works. Almost every time.
It's the only Kiss I like.
Not true. You're not a big fan of the band.
Hate the band.
Detroit Rock City.
Like the
Rock and Roll All Night Party every day.
Like the verb Kiss.
Yeah, of course.
Thank God they're on their final farewell tour.
Again.
In wheelchairs.
Again.
It's not going to be their final one. They're going to keep going, dude. They get money for it.
Well,
actually, thank God they're in makeup because I saw them without makeup recently.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The makeup works.
So as writers, I don't want to say go after, but we criticize coaching staffs when they don't do well. I mean, it's just like what we do. It's part of our job.
Yes.
And
coaching staffs criticize us when we write
what
they don't
too.
Like.
That's true, too. Well, here's the thing. Like, I feel weird criticizing certain coaching staffs because I'm like, look, man, I mean, they've been doing this for 10, 15, mm-hmm. something years. I mean, like,
spend 80 hours a week getting ready for a game.
They can't just be ignoring the obvious or whatever, just this stubborn or whatever. But I mean, come on, when you hear something like that, when you hear Levante just say, we prepared really well, we knew that these were the 4 or 5 coverages that were going to be the most successful, and we stuck with them. How is that not what you always do?
But in a little bit of defense of Mike Smith, you know, maybe these players should be able to play a coverage they practiced 2 weeks ago instead of just three days ago.
Not when you have 3 rookies back
well,
there.
Well, again,
That's the damning thing for Mike Smith. You understand you have rookies back there? Carlton Davis, Jordan Whitehead, MJ Stewart are rookies.
I feel like that's a little bit of Mike Smith.
But he didn't draft
anybody. But that's a little bit of Mike Smith.
But they're his guys.
You think he played that to a handcuff, you think? Like, oh, this is what I want to do, but, you know, you gave me rookies to start, so it's not my fault.
Any great or good offense or defensive coach will work with the talent that they have and make something.
Yeah,
work.
They've lied. They've always lied that statement for the last 2 years.
You've always got to.
Putting players in the best place to succeed. Yeah. We're doing all we can. No, you have not.
That's
we know damn well they have not done that today.
Mark Duffner did that.
When they played Doug Martin consistently over Peyton Barber, they were lying.
That's right.
I mean, they've lied. There were still some breakdowns.
We saw them score those 14 points there in the fourth quarter with receivers Jarvis Landry and was it Njoku at one point that was just wide open.
Well, Njoku was tough for them because
it's just a mismatch.
That's like a linebacker coverage sometimes, and so that's obviously you're down Quan, so that didn't really help them. But Njoku had a good day.
Well, I tell you what, too. He had a really good day was Quan Alexander before he got hurt. And,
he did.
And I know that there's a report, we reported it, that Ian Rappaport said that it looks like a torn ACL right now. Just got a text from a high-ranking Bucs official that said, yes, MRI tomorrow, fingers crossed. So the Bucs are holding out hope. I have not heard anybody come out and refute that. I think right now it's safe to say he probably has a torn ACL, but they'll know the real deal tomorrow.
It really sucks for Quan because obviously this is a contract year for him, and he was, you know, we had heard that he was negotiating somewhere near the $10 million mark. Yep. And when you're a linebacker, especially a coverage linebacker who boasts his athleticism and his speed as the thing that he's touted to make him worth that much money whenever you to have a major surgery on your leg, that just sucks for him. And I mean, you know, we've been...
Well, I mean, good news for him is 2018, not, you know, 1978. 78, his career's over.
That's right.
2018, he's back ready to go, you know,
preseason
next year.
Right, but, you know, that's still probably a massive amount of money that he's going to lose because he is going to have to sign with a team this offseason, and they're going to have to be signing a guy that is coming off major surgery. Yeah. And so, and I mean, we've been critical of Kwon in the past, wondering if he was even worth the $10 million that he might get paid.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he's not still a good football player.
Right.
You know, you obviously find the value for a guy, but this injury really sucks for a guy.
On the most impressive list today, you know, I wrote that, you know, he's been inconsistent, really, through the first five games. This game, this first half,
is
by far his first half of football.
Yeah, it was.
You know, it seemed like things were really clicking for him. Under Dufter, I wanted to see what this guy and that's the assessment that Jason Light needed to see, too. What does Kwon Alexander do
under a different defense
under defensive coordinator?
Yeah, he had seven tackles today and a pass breakup in the first half.
He had seven tackles?
Yeah. In the first
before
half.
Before he got
hurt.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah. He led the team?
Well, no.
Second. Levante ended up with
Levante
eight.
Levante had eight.
Oh, dang. Man, what a bummer.
That's it really is.
Well, I tell you what, we should maybe make a bet. Is Kwon back here next year?
Yeah.
Get a new deal?
Yeah.
A new deal?
Yeah, I think he is.
Are they just doing a 1 year? What are they
doing? I think he does, but he's not getting nearly as much as he wants.
Well, I don't know that he should have gotten as much
well,
as he
I,
wants
Well, I don't think
either.
So either. I don't really think so either. But if I was a betting man, I would say that, yes, Kwon is a member of the Buccaneers next year. I still think so.
Yeah, I'm going to make that bet, too. I just don't know where in the hell I would make a bet like that.
Well, I know a place. It's called mybookie.ag.
What?
Sure. Listen, watching
since
football
when?
Is fun. It's more entertaining when you've got some action on the games. Guys, you've heard us talk about this plenty of times on the Pewter Nation podcast, and some of you are still on the sidelines. We understand. We get it. But whether you're an expert or whether you're a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little, like me, or a lot, like Mark, do you bet a lot?
No.
Okay.
Well, I do with the casino.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I do like to gamble. I am a gambling man.
Okay. Well, if you're that kind of guy, whether it's a little or a lot, do it at mybookie.ag. They've got a great deal right now. And if you'd like to bet on numbers like roulette, you can create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win. If you hit all three, you could turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on right now. Playoff baseball, hockey, primetime fights, NFL, NCAA, NBA. But MyBookie is the one bet I know you're going to be happy with all year. I recommend these guys. You've heard us talk about them on the Pewter Nation podcast. I really trust them. I use them every single week. I bet on the Bucks today. They came through. So I'm happy about that. I recommend them. I trust them. You guys need to as well. They're offering 100% bonus this time of year. That's right. If you've been thinking about placing a bet all season, but you haven't manned up to do it, well, now is the time. Sunday's kickoff is here. There's still action for tonight's game. You can also bet next week. Go to mybookie.ag, mention the promo code Pewter, that's P-E-W-T-E-R, and they'll double your initial deposit. Log on to MyBookie, and don't miss out on this opportunity right now to double your initial deposit 100% by mentioning the promo code Pewter.
Well,
offensive side, let's talk Winston.
Besides Winston?
No, let's talk
Winston.
365 yards, three turnovers, two interceptions, one fumble, a 65, 66, whatever it was rating. He gets to win.
Leading rusher on the team.
He had some crazy plays. He really did.
Yeah.
But he also had some super boneheaded plays.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the two extremely stupid sacks that he basically screwed this team over by taking those two sacks. One of them was much more of his fault than the other one.
Right.
The second one, I don't think, wasn't too much of his
fault.
Although,
listening to the press conference, Dirk is saying that a play was called that wasn't, I mean, there was miscommunication as far as the play goes.
He's holding
completely.
The ball for
seven seconds before taking a sack. No,
throwing the ball away.
Right.
You're 4 years into the career, dude. Get it through your head.
At some point in time, Brad Johnson, former Florida State quarterback, former NFL
Good
quarterback
knows.
With the Buccaneers, has got to place a phone call to Jameis Winston and say, did you watch me play? Did you watch me throw the ball away? Now, I couldn't scramble and wiggle around and pick up first downs and dive for touchdowns,
but throw the ball away
like I did. Like, you've got to practice that, because there's instances where it absolutely kills Jameis and this team.
I just don't
get it. Just about did it today.
Winston is so damn talented. That kid is so – he is so good, and yet he is – barely better decision making than he was 2 years, 3 years ago.
But here's the deal, Trevor. We saw him should have been sacked a couple times in this game,
totally,
and he makes it.
Totally.
So I think this gets in his head that, you know, I can get out of anything. But you've got to know the situation, situational football. In that situation where you're that close to field goal range with an opportunity to win a football game, you've got to find a way. Now, he wasn't outside the pocket.
Right.
I don't know that he could have got outside the pocket.
He could have got outside the pocket.
He's going to have to. He's got to figure out something else.
He was just sitting there. And
there's got to be an internal clock going on in your head.
The whole thing with Winston is, and this has never changed. The whole thing is that you have to look at Winston and you go, well, you got to take the good with the bad.
Right.
Here's my question. Do you?
Well,
how long do you put up with taking the good with the bad?
Because
I don't know many QBs in the NFL that win games consistently like this. Because remember, folks, we're not just talking about getting to the playoffs. What do you want from this Buccaneers team? You want to win a Super Bowl, correct?
Yes.
Can you tell me right now that you would trust Jameis Winston to win three games in a row in the playoffs with increasingly more difficult defenses?
Right now.
No.
Trevor, when you say the good with the bad...
If you take them both, you have.
If you equate
the facts of life, Jameis.
If you equate that to grades, all right, the good would be an A, bad would be an F. Then average them out. What do you get? You get a C.
Jameis Winston is like a C+, B- quarterback.
Right.
His entire NFL career.
That's what he is.
But can you win with that?
I didn't notice that. Sometimes his worst statistical games. Look, Scott, you pointed out. This reminds me of that New Orleans game that ended the season last year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, an awful game statistically, but they win. Jameis said it at the podium, end of the day, I played well enough for us to win. Last week, he played well enough for them to win, but they lost.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I just think they're drinking the Kool-Aid, man.
Well,
I don't think they have a choice.
They have their entire regime has their hands tied behind...
Look,
as
the biggest Florida State guy in the room... Literally and figuratively speaking, Scott's a little bigger than me. But what I'm saying is I'm not sold. This guy's the future yet.
No.
Here's what you do. You have him play out his fifth year option, and then you franchise him.
If he has
another up down C+ season, then you franchise him. You go year to year.
And at least
to
my concerns is the off the field, which probably should be my biggest concern.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't even think about that right now. I'm strictly looking at it.
I don't even know if he's worth it on the field.
Right.
You know. And I would say that he's not. I would say that Jameis Winston is not worth a franchise contract that he's about to sign on the field.
If you say that and you think that, then you've admitted as a general manager you made a mistake. You're going to lose your job because you don't get
a chance to.
You don't get two coaches and a number one overall and save your job.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. They're going to roll with this guy as long as they can.
And they kind of have to, because at the end of the day, he's, 24 years old right now?
25 maybe.
Okay, so he's still so young. He will be playing, unlike Josh Freeman, right? He will be playing until he's 30, 32, 34 probably in this league. I would suggest. And the thing is, he's going to be better in time. I don't think that his career is going to flame
how
out.
How much better is
I don't know.
Because people will – every
it's
time,
his fourth year. We need to see how
every
much
time,
better
every
he
time
is
I
right
criticize
now.
Jameis Winston in this regard. One, people go after me like I'm a Jameis Winston hater. I don't know if it's because I went to University of Florida or what. But
you are.
To that, I respond and say, shut up. I'm just doing my job. and to Winston's point, they would say, like, if you think Winston's the reason why this team loses, you're out of your mind. Some weeks he is.
Yeah.
Some weeks he's not. Some weeks he's the guy that wins it for him kind of out of nowhere.
And you know
but
what,
other weeks, you know what he is? The guy who blows it.
Yeah.
And you know what this should have been? This should have been a week that he blows it.
Right.
They lost a turnover battle because of him.
Yeah.
They should have lost this game because of him. Baker Mayfield gets 1 yard on that defensive stand. They lose.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose because of who? Winston. That's why. And instead, the whole narrative is flipped. He gets to sit up there at the podium and say what he said.
But that's what Dirt Cutter says every week. A quarterback gets too much credit when they win. and too much blame when they lose, right? Isn't that what he says?
That's what he says.
And the perfect example was last week. If the Buccaneers' defense is half-ass average, they win that game.
Yeah. I thought he played great anyways. I would have said that last week.
Yeah.
And I thought he played terrible this week.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of crazy plays that he had. Like I said, there's stuff that Jameis Winston does that no other quarterback does in the league.
But
maybe
was,
it's because they don't think of it, right?
He was inaccurate from his first pass. Even he was started the game 2 out of 3. Even the two passes that he made, one to Humphreys here. If he hits him in stride, Humphreys runs for another 10 yards. Mm-hmm. Has to go low and make the catch. Another one, he throws the ball up high, almost gets his guy killed. I mean, he just was not a very accurate guy
today. It worries me.
And no connection with DeSean Jackson.
It worries
no,
me
none at all.
That, and I think I've referenced this before. I don't know if it was an article. I know I've talked with you guys about this. But take out his Heisman year, his freshman year, his redshirt freshman year at Florida State. If you, because the next year after that, Mark, you know very well, They did well as a team, but Winston really cooled off that next year. He had a ton of interceptions.
Statistically, right. he played well, and they won a bunch of football games.
Take out his Heisman year and just make basically a duplicate of his sophomore year. What do we think of Jameis Winston right now? Because the narrative nowhere near what we think of it now.
Well, probably not.
And
he's probably not the number one overall pick if he had two consecutive years.
That's the outlier
year
is what I'm saying. We're 4 years into his NFL career. He had 2 years in college. And of those 6 years, the one outlier year had when we very first saw him. And first impressions, as everybody knows, means a lot. So that's my only thing with Jameis Winston.
You've just got to be fair with what he is. Michael Clayton, and I guess I'm probably bringing up something we don't even need to bring up right now, but I'm going to do it because it's on the Buccaneer Radio Network. Michael Clayton in the pregame show, right when I was getting in my car, said that he heard Jameis Winston is not getting what he needs from this staff. He's heard it from more than one person close to the organization. And he wouldn't elaborate on that.
What does he need?
What does that mean? Like pizza?
You know, my thing is I see the way Mike Bujaki works with this guy. He's on the sideline with him. We see him at practice. Even when the offense isn't doing team and the quarterbacks are kind of standing off with nothing to do, Bujaki is working with this guy, right?
Yeah.
With all the quarterbacks. So I don't know exactly what that means. Does he think maybe he's not getting the support, the pat on the backs? I don't know.
Hey, play better and you get the pat on the backs.
Right?
I mean, that's just common sense. The one thing I tweeted out in the first half was this game reminded me early on for Jameis of a game his rookie season where he was having to improvise and make plays with his feet. We saw the diving touchdown. Mm-hmm. He rushed for a lot more touchdowns his rookie season than he did in any of the other 2 years. But some of the decision-making, he looked like a rookie quarterback today. And that's damning because this is a guy in his fourth year going into a fifth-year option year where this team is going to be paying him $20 million.
And the thing is, both of his interceptions today, I don't count the fumble. Donovan gave up a sack. I mean, he can't have eyes in the back of his head all the time. Maybe that eternal clock should have went off. Maybe she got rid of the ball a little sooner.
I put that on Donovan.
But the two interceptions,
yeah,
there's no excuse. The one that he threw going into the – that would be the north end zone, I guess you would say – just got greedy.
Yeah.
Had thrown some balls that, you know, he'd squeezed between guys.
Yep.
He's got to understand, again, we go back to situational football. They're on the other side of the 50.
They're in Browns territory.
You can't turn the ball over there. He did it in Atlanta in the end zone. Then his second interception was in overtime.
Yeah.
When you gave, I mean, the Browns, again, if they weren't so inept, they score, win the game, it's over at that point.
Sack,
yes,
that knocked him out of field goal range.
Yeah, they lose.
They lose the game.
By the way, is he player of the game?
Carl Nassib?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I got two sacks, a pass breakup.
Yeah.
You know,
That pass breakup was awesome. I'm going to give him the player of the game and the most impressive.
Here's the crazy thing. Carl Nassib came from the Browns, and I could have swore that he came from the Pittsburgh Steelers because anytime you ask Carl Nassib a question about, like I'll pretend I'm Carl Nassib. Trevor, you asked me about both of my sacks today.
All right. Carl, you got two sacks today against your former team. They came in some pretty crucial moments. Thought you had a good game. What'd you think?
Defensive line played great today. You know, we really came after them, and you know, we were successful.
Yeah, but did it? You know, yeah. Anything special with it being against your former team? Any extra motivation?
You know, everybody showed up along that defensive line and really played well collectively.
Okay, but like your performance individually, like nothing, no motivation, extra motivation there for you?
I'm just happy we got the win.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Like, yeah. The guy will not talk about himself. I had to ask him. I said,
"You kind of." I mean, some people love that though.
Well, I know
some people are like, "Yeah, like, team first."
Okay, fine, but like, it's like, "Hey, we're on the third or fourth question now. I'm trying to whittle it down to talk about you. I'm doing a story on you. I need a quote from you about you." Hey, how about, listen, Carl, you had a pass breakup against the Falcons last week, the only pass breakup. That's the line of scrimmage. This time, you're dropping in coverage 15 yards, patting the ball down. What'd you think of that? Yeah, great play. Okay, can you elaborate on that? What do you want me to say? I broke up the pass. Like, that's it. That's all he says.
Yeah.
Humble guy.
Very, very straightforward, humble.
Well, he's going to get a...
Blue collar.
He's going to get
old
a...
Old school.
Yeah.
Lunch pail kind of guy.
Penn State.
Penn
we
State.
We are.
There it is.
Well, he's going to get himself a Rooster's Haircut, one of our sponsors of the Most Impressive List. Not of the Peter Nation Podcast, but we'll give him a quick little shout out. Anyway, one of our other sponsors of the Peter Nation Podcast, we should probably buy this guy beer. He looks like he would be a beer guy.
Carl so.
Nassib is not a martini, mule,
nope.
mixed drink kind of guy.
No, I would agree. I think he probably likes some Steel City beer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have that in the Florida locations of Ford's Garage, but I'm sure that there's a good substitute. There's a lot of craft beers.
Yep.
I know this firsthand by going to Ford's Garage and giving them my business. When I'm looking for a beer and a burger, that's the top of mind place that I go.
And Nassib's got to be a beer and a nacho guy, and a burger and a nacho guy.
Yeah.
Ford's Garage, located in multiple locations across the Bay Area, is the place to go. Just spoke to one of the directors over at Ford's Garage, and we're going to be planning and announcing our live podcast over the Lakeland location the first week of November with Adarius Taylor,
who had four tackles and a sack today.
Yep, he's the new starting middle linebacker, it appears to be,
yep.
with Quan Alexander unfortunately out. So make sure to make those plans and follow us on PeterReport.com to get all the details of that. But make sure you stop by the local area locations of Ford's Garage, located throughout the Bay Area. Ford's
St. Petersburg,
Garage,
where's the chapel?
USA,
Brandon.
.com, Estero, Dearborn, Michigan.
West Chase.
Did you say .com?
Pinecrest, Florida. Not yet. Not one in Pinecrest or Keysville, but we may have one being built there eventually.
Probably.
They're expanding everywhere. But check out Ford's Garage, our good friends. Let them know you appreciate them sponsoring the Peter Nation Podcast.
Now, Adarius Taylor is going to step in at the middle linebacker spot for mm-hmm. Quan. It's a spot that he's played before. If you remember last year, they were without Quan and Levante David for a couple games, including the Patriots game. And like the Patriots game where he had his first and only NFL sack, Darius got the sack today, the only sack by a Bucs linebacker. But he's not going to be the leader on the defense, even though that is the Mike position. Levante David
sure.
will be calling plays. He'll have the green dot on the helmet with the speaker in there.
Sure.
And really, you know, Levante, I mean, what a hero play he makes.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? I mean, Baker Mayfield almost sacked twice in that play.
That's the play of the game.
Yeah.
That's the play of the game.
He's running for a first down and
unbelievable.
Punches the ball out. The ball goes out of bounds, 1 yard shy of the first down. And it creates, we can call it a takeaway. It was actually a turnover on downs, mm-hmm. essentially.
That's a takeaway. It was a takeaway.
Yeah.
It was 100% a takeaway.
Yeah.
And I tweeted after he made that play, Levante David is one of the best linebackers in the NFL.
Yeah.
He is without a doubt in the same conversation as Bobby Wagner,
yeah.
Luke Kuechly, those guys. And he is talked about so much less
yeah,
than
agreed.
Those guys. And it is just it's a shame for Levante because he is such a humble guy, a soft-spoken guy.
You know what's funny? Was I was down there talking to Levante. He was like one of the last guys in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenna Lane, who we like a lot from ESPN, was down there.
I don't.
Well, I like her. She's
nice.
I'm
just kidding. I love Jenna.
And she says to Levante, she's like, oh, my gosh, hey, great play with the forced fumble. We were just talking about that. And she's like, great play with the forced fumble. That was very Derek Brooks-esque. And I said, actually, Jenna, that was very Levante David-esque.
Yep.
He looks at me and he's like, appreciate that, Scott.
There you
I
go.
I mean, it's like, listen, I mean, Derek Brooks, you know, his name is up there. You know, on the stadium, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's been to way more Pro Bowls. He was an NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Super Bowl champion. Levante David
doesn't
have
that. Future
Director
of Football Operations for the Buccaneers.
Maybe. I don't know. I doubt
I'm just
it.
Kidding.
But the thing is Levante David is a ball magnet in a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, he forces fumbles like yep. no other player in Bucs history. And now, Derek Brooks had a different role. Because there's not going to be any other linebackers that are going to pick off as many passes as Derek Brooks did.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's just his game. But Levante David, whether it's a forced fumble, fumble recovery, The guy just does it better than anybody.
Yep. And you know what? They need more of that this year, though. If they're going to, they're going to get over the 500 hump and become a talk of the playoff. And you know, I wrote this in the I think it was in the mailbag last week. You know, as bad as the Buccaneers were sitting at, what were they last? I don't even know what their record is right now. I'm old. I'm tired. They're 3-3. They were 2-3 coming into this game. If you look at the NFC division, I mean, if you look at the NFC standings, they're right in the thick of the wild card.
Yeah,
I mean, because you've got division winners, you've got the top division guys, but then, I mean, they're right in the middle.
And as it stands right now, the Saints are losing to the Ravens as we're doing this podcast. They just scored. Ravens are up 17-14.
Now, it does not help that the Buccaneers still have to play the Ravens.
Yeah, that defense is for real.
So it's not like, I mean, they're beating the Saints, so maybe they're doing them a favor, but they then have to go to Baltimore.
In December.
To go face the Ravens.
Is it cold up there in December?
I've never been to Baltimore. I'm going to find out, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you guys aren't going to go.
No.
I might go to that one. We'll see.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
All right, wow.
I got family up in D.C.
All right, cool.
So, shout out, Dad.
Yeah, I don't know anybody up there. Don't want to know anybody up there.
Yankee territory.
Up here up north, they'll try and change me.
I don't understand why you got to get out of Polk County, honestly.
I'm not taking a grocery store. That Mason-Dixon line.
I bet there's not even any Copenhagen at the stores up there.
All right, last thing we got to talk about before we wrap it up.
Oh, T.A. Mahoney's?
No.
We do have to talk about them.
Okay.
You want to talk about them?
You can.
I would love to. You know why? Because T.A. Mahoney's is a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. They're also the one-stop shop in the Tampa Bay area when you're looking for all of your marine needs. For your boats, for your trailers, for your fishing equipment, your fishing gear, your fishing apparel. Everything to do with the marine world, T.A. Mahoney's at 50th and Adamo in Tampa has it. Been in business since 1948. Mark Mahoney is Mike and Mark. Mark is his son. Mike is the owner and has taken over this family business. Been around since 1948. A great family, and they'd love to help you out. You know, I call them up all the time. In fact, I was calling for a product the other day. Matt, the manager, wasn't available. I just spoke to one of the ladies on the phone. She went, found what I needed. They've got it. So I'm going to go pick that up this week, probably on Tuesday. So go check out T.A. Mahoney's. Check them out online also at tamahoney.com. That's tamahoney.com. 50th and Adamo in Tampa, and make sure to let them know. Even if you don't have a boat, even if you don't have any marine needs, hey, you can call them up and just say, hey, thank you for being a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. We would certainly appreciate that very much as well.
We got to talk kicker, right? It wouldn't be a Buccaneers podcast if we didn't talk about the kicker.
Keeker.
Oh, God. Do we have to? I guess we do.
Trevor wants to cut him.
Cut him.
And he's not joking.
Cut him.
You can't cut him.
Have to cut him.
You can't cut him.
Have to cut
him. He won the game. He won the game that he should have lost.
That kick at the very end had zero pressure to it. I was telling you, when we were sitting there right before the kick, I said he had already texted his girl and said, hey, put the apartment up for a sublease. We're out of here.
No.
I just missed a 40-yarder. Oh, my goodness. And you see how bad that 40-yard field goal was?
Yeah, it was bad.
That was a lame duck. That was inaccurate. That was they ran two plays to get him the ball where he prefers to kick it the most.
Yeah.
Exactly where it goes, and you get that kick out of that dude, and he missed an extra point to start the game? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
For the second week in a row.
No. No. I don't care that he made that last one.
Okay, who do you replace him with?
That's the problem.
Because that's,
I know
you
keep
the
thinking,
question.
There's been four teams in the last 3 weeks that have cut kickers and went out and got new kickers.
Right.
Anybody.
They're not. No,
it's not anybody.
It's anybody.
It's not anybody. You have to tell me who you're going to cut him
for. No, it's anybody. Because a kicker is only as good as the trust you have in them, and I don't give a crap what Dirk Cutter says. There is no way you have trust in that guy. No way. And you know what? As long as he is kicking in Tampa and has a Buccaneers uniform on, I would bet that he feels the same way. Every single time he goes out to do a PAT, you know what's going to be in the back of his head? Man, how many PATs have I missed for this team? Is this next PAT if I miss this? If you have a kicker who goes up there and thinks if a PAT I'm about to miss could cost my job, you really think that's a healthy environment for
that dude? What you have to do if you're Dirk Cutter is realize that really under 50 yards, he's very inaccurate and very questionable if he's going to make the kicks or not. So an extra points, you take delay of games.
Is he 3-for-3 from 50, I think?
Something like
that. I think he's beyond 50.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You take delay
push
of games.
Push the ball out.
Yep. Push it back. Yep. Okay.
Make it 59-yarder every time.
I think if you take four delay of games, that should push it back.
20 more yards, right.
Right. into the 50-yard range, and then you say, go hit it, just like you did the game winner against the Browns.
I just cannot fathom not being a kicker out there.
I promise you.
But this is what he says. Mark's right. I mean, this is a, you know, there's no such thing as an automatic extra point anymore. That's what the league wanted.
Half
what
the league has 100%.
Okay.
Half the league is kicking 100%
If that's the case, then why
PAT?
Have four kickers out of 32 teams been released?
Because they're bad. Okay. And the team didn't want to stand for it. I mean, you know who else shouldn't? This one.
Okay.
What if the Packers had cut Mason Crosby after he missed those five
then
kicks
the Bucs
2 weeks
could
ago?
Sign him after they cut
But then he comes back
week.
And hits the game winner last week. I mean,
Mason Crosby's different, though, because I thought about this in my head as I was tweeting out that they should probably cut him because people are going to bring up the, oh, would you cut Mason Crosby? Here's the thing. Mason Crosby's got pedigree. This dude doesn't.
Yeah.
Catanzaro does not have pedigree. Catanzaro, half the damn weeks in just this season alone, he's missed field goals that he shouldn't have made.
No. He missed one field goal coming into this game. One.
No, he's missed two.
No, one.
Yes, he was 2 for 4 in between 40 yards. I looked it up. He was 2 for 4 between 40 yards. He's missed two field goals, unless somebody else kicked it. And then he's missed now two extra points.
Three extra points.
First game.
Yeah. He missed one in
okay,
New Orleans.
Okay, so he leads the league and missed extra points.
Right.
Wasn't it New Orleans? Did he miss one week one?
Yes.
No, yeah. He missed a field goal. Missed the field goal.
Yes, and then he missed the extra point against the Eagles.
Right.
That's where it was. The Eagles was missed extra point against the Falcons last week.
And then today. Yeah. No, I mean, that's unacceptable. I mean, extra points have to be automatic. I mean,
they should be.
I mean, you know, look, my son's high school football team, their kicker has not missed an extra point. Now, granted, it's from 24 yards as opposed to 36 or whatever it is now, but still. You know, it's a 16-year-old
right.
kid
because
versus a grown man who's getting paid $3 million
a
year
to do
this.
Point, right? There's still no pressure. I mean, you're just kicking an extra point. Right. I mean, before you were going up there, and what was the thought? It was like, it was lackadaisical. You were going to make it. Okay, what are you telling me that these guys who get paid millions and millions of dollars who kick a billion field goals, like, all right, you back it up 10 yards. I get it. 10 yards is further.
Yeah.
But it ain't like he doesn't
it's
have the
still
leg.
Under 40. Anything
he
under 40
misses it.
As right. an NFL kicker, you should make.
And absolutely.
It was one of you guys, I think Trevor, I think it was you, that said, listen, last year you saw Nick Folk kick a game winner
right.
against the Giants.
Right.
And then he missed four field goals against the Patriots and was cut.
I went back.
I don't think he missed four.
I went back
seven?
And... No. I went back and looked at some of our old podcasts last week, and the funniest part of them is that there's one episode. Well, yeah, but
not according
there's
to
one episode, and it's called Folk Hero. Okay,
right. Yeah.
The very next podcast is called Get the Folk Out. It's literally back to back podcasts.
Well, I mean,
so
that's kind of
what happened.
Life of
Giants
kicker,
game,
though,
then the Patriots
game. The reason why that's life of the kicker is because there are guys out there that can make it. So look. Would I lean towards cutting him?
He was the guy out there that could make
know,
it before the Buccaneers signed him and he started missing him.
Because here's the thing. All right, so like, would I lean towards cutting him? Yes, but obviously you guys are correct. You have to have a guy to bring in. Tuesday,
there'll be guys here.
Tuesday there better be day. Friggin' 18 kickers.
I don't doubt there's any. There will be kickers
there
here Tuesday.
There better be 18 kickers here Tuesday.
Yep.
Because right now that guy is leaning.
And they're not
going to
cut him this week.
They're not going to cut him.
But they're going to find. They're going to see who's out there. And if he has a bad game next week, then he very well could be gone.
Yeah. And Cairo Santos is a guy that has.
He's available.
That is available. And they were looking at him hard last
Isn't
year.
Is Dan Bailey? I know Dan
no,
Bailey struggled.
No, he got picked up by the
Vikings.
Yeah.
He got cut by the Cowboys in the preseason. They went with a rookie who's doing very well. He went to the Vikings because the Vikings cut a kicker who missed a couple kicks.
Is
an
he
extra
still with
point.
The Vikings, or did he get
Cleveland
cut?
Has gotten rid of a kicker. And there's a couple other teams that have gotten rid of kickers this year.
Pinheiro.
Oh, Lord.
Could have.
Well, I mean, Aguayo's unemployed right now.
You know, he is.
He's not any worse than the way that our guy's performing right now.
Yep. Well,
I mean, in all honesty, I mean, Aguayo...
Please don't.
Part of his thing was
Please
missing extra
talking.
Points.
Please
no.
don't start talking
no.
about this. Please
no.
don't start talking
no.
about this.
No, you can't bring him back. You know,
no, you can't.
You know, if Roberto Aguayo had been an undrafted free agent and you cut him, people wouldn't really
it's
give
no
a crap.
Big deal.
No
it was
big
a
deal.
Second round pick.
You know, then maybe
you traded
consider
up
bringing a guy like that back. But a guy, you know, second round, you move up. No, that'll
How
never happen.
That
He'll never be back here again.
By the way,
it's
by
awful.
The way, Noah Spencer's active today. Didn't do crap.
Well,
Carl Nassib is he's the defensive end. I mean, he's replaced. Noah Spence, you know, you were being brutally honest about Roberto Aguayo and the kicking situation. I want to start a new segment within our midweek podcast. We do podcasts after the game. We have another podcast we usually tape on Thursdays during the week leading up to Tampa Bay's next game. And I would love to answer some brutally honest questions. submitted by you guys, Pewter Nation. So if you have a question that we have to, if we ask, if you ask the question and it makes the Pewter Nation podcast, we have to answer it. And you can direct it to all three of us. You can direct it to myself or Mark or Trevor. Just, you can go to our message boards, our Red Board, and put, you know, hashtag brutal honest question for Pewter Nation podcast, or you can go on our Twitter feed and hashtag it brutal honest question, hashtag Pewter Nation, and we'll ask, we'll have you guys ask the questions, and we'll provide the brutally honest answers. And this is no spin. If you ask the questions, we have to answer it honestly. We can't use them all, but we'll find some, and we're not going to try to just to cherry pick and only have the easy questions. We'll have some hard ones here, but let's give this a shot and see what happens. So either on Twitter, either on the Red Board, let us know what the questions are, and we'll have those answers for you during the podcast on Thursday.
We need to come up with a hashtag so we can find them, though. So what's the hashtag?
Hashtag be brutal honest question.
That's a long
that's
one.
That's not a good one.
No, we'll let's come just up do with PR it. Brutal.
No, that's also not. That's also not good.
That's perfect. I mean, according to some people, we are pretty brutal. Anyway, all right. Well, we appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back, like Scott said, midweek with another edition from Raymond James Stadium, where the final is 26-23, Buccaneers on top of the Browns in overtime. For Trevor Sikkema, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you next week or later this week for another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Out.